Track status reports for Eastern Georgia's Bank Cotton Haddock and for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail. These three status reports can be found online on the Canadian DFO website if you want to look up more detail. So first of all, Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod is a management unit that the assessment's done on all landings that come from statistical area 551 and 52 and 561 and 62. So just these four statistical areas on Eastern Georgia's Bank are the comprise the Eastern Georgia's Bank assessment, in contrast to the GARM assessment, which uses all these statistical areas in this greenish shade plus any catch in south of that area. So if we look at the catches and fishing mortality, you can see prior to 1994 that the catches were relatively high on the Eastern Georgia's area. And then the stock declined, and catches were much lower since 1994. And in particular, in 2007, the total U.S. and Canadian catch was 1,796 metric tons. And of that, 472 metric tons were discarded. The U.S. catch was 564 metric tons, and the fleet discarded a little bit more than half of that at 348 metric tons. If we look at the fishing mortality series, you see that the F was relatively high for this stock early on, then declined sharply when the management measures went into effect both in the U.S. and Canada in 1994. But it still remained above FREF, which is this solid line across here. And it's only in the last 3 or 4 years that F has gotten below FREF. And in 2007, the F was 0.12, just below FREF of 0.18. If we look at the biomass and recruitment, biomass is the red line here. And again, you see that drop in biomass. And then we've had this increase since 1994, so that by 2001, the biomass had gotten up to about 19,000 metric tons. But then it declined again to about 13,000 in 2005. And then in 2008, we're up to 19,000 metric tons. If we look at recruitment, which is the blue bars, we see that the 2003 year class is 7.1 million, which is just above the long-term average of 6.1 million. It's the first strong year class since 1990, which was at 9.2 million. However, the year classes surrounding this above-average year class are the lowest on record. The 2002, 4, and 6 are the lowest year classes in the time series. So you see the effect of this 2003 year class in the SSB. That's why it increased here in 2005, 6, and it's starting to level out in 2007, or 7 and 8. If we look at the stock recruit patterns for this management unit, we see that generally we get better recruitment, and this is age 3 plus biomass on the x-axis and age 1 recruits. So at around 25,000 metric tons, above that we get better recruitment in general. And below that is generally poor recruitment, and the current biomass right now is below the 25,000 metric tons. The resource productivity for this management unit is low. We've had declines in the weighted age. We've had, with the exception of the 2003 year class, we've had poor recruitment. So if F is maintained below FREF, That will help maintain a higher biomass and will increase our chance of good recruitment. Looking at the projection risk and the 2009 TOC, if the 2008 TAC was 2,300 metric tons, if that is caught in 2008, then a quota of 2,100 metric tons in 2009 would give a neutral or 50% risk that F in 2009 would be above FREF. And also, if the quota was set at 1,300 metric tons, it would give a neutral risk of the 2010 biomass being lower than the 2009 biomass. There's not likely to be a 10% increase in the biomass, even if there is no catch. So the 2003 year class is going to contribute greater than 50% of the catch biomass in both 2008 and 2009. So this year class is the only strong year class to support the fishery at this point. And the question came up in Paul's presentation about the GARM assessment versus the TRAC assessment. Just briefly, the TRAC assessment uses a formulation that was agreed to at a benchmark several years ago. I think it was 2002. And then, so that was the formulation that was used at this TRAC. And the TRAC decided that for several reasons we're not happy with the behavior of how the assessment's results are from this assessment. So we're requesting a benchmark assessment of the TRAC. But then the GARM assessment this year had a benchmark, and we used a different formulation than what the TRAC uses. In previous years, the TRAC and the GARM had similar formulations so that you could compare the two assessments. But now that there are different formulations, they're scaled differently, and you can't really compare them straight away like you used to. So this is going to present a bit of a problem for the PDT when they go to set the target TAC for the entire Georges Bank cod. So in summary, F has been reduced in 2007, and we have the above-average 2,000-year class. However, we do have the other recent recruitments generally poor, and we have the lower mean weights at age. So a lower quota on this unit area would be required to prevent from biomass decline. So we'll go with the Georges Bank, Eastern Georges Bank haddock. Again, this is the same. It's just Eastern Georges Bank, which is just the landings from these four statistical areas, in contrast to the GARM assessment, which uses all the statistical areas in the green shaded area. Looking at catches and fishing mortality, we see that the bars are the catches, which include U.S. and Canada discards and landings. We see that the catches are, in recent years, are similar to those that back in the late 70s. However, you'll notice that earlier in the time series, the U.S. and Canada were landing pretty much equal amounts, but now, in more recent years, the majority of the catch is being taken by Canada. So in 2007, the catch for both countries combined was 12,600 metric tons, and of that, there was 543 metric tons discarded. The U.S. caught 729 metric tons and discarded, of that 729, they discarded 482 metric tons. And if we look at the fishing mortality, which is the solid black line here, We see that early on in the time period, the fishing mortality was well above or above FREF. But since 1994 and the management measures, the F was below FREF, except for 3 years here, 2004, 5, and 6, it was slightly above, but it's again in 2007, it's below FREF at 0.14. Looking at biomass and recruitment, biomass is the red line, and we see the biomass levels in the last 3 or 4 decades or the between the 70s and 90s were very low compared to early on in the time series, but in recent years we've had this increase in biomass. In particular, if you look at 1993, we were at 9,000 metric tons, and by 2003 this has had increased to about 77,000 metric tons, declined slightly, and then we had this tremendous increase to 158,000 metric tons. It's the largest biomass we've seen in the time series. If you look at recruitment, which is the blue bars, we see that the 2003 year class is very large at 323 million fish. The 2005 year class is at 26.9 million fish, which is above the 10-year average, the most recent 10-year average. But surrounding these 2 year classes, we have 4 year classes that are below average, the 2001, 2, 4, and 6 year classes. Although we would expect the this year class to support the fishery for some time. Looking at the stock recruit pattern for haddock, we see again that this cut point of around 40,000 metric tons, where recruitment is the chance of better recruitment is much higher at greater than 40,000 metric tons versus below 40,000 metric tons. Currently, the biomass is at greater than 150,000 metric tons. So the resource productivity for this stock is high, given we have an expanded age structure. There's broad spatial distribution across the eastern part of the bank. There's an improved recruitment. And this is only offset by declines in the weighted age in recent years. Looking at the projection risk, if the quota in 2008 of 28,000 metric tons is taken, then a quota of 33,000 metric tons in 2009 would result in a neutral 50% risk that F2009 would be above FREF. If you were looking at the 25% risk, a catch of 28,000 metric tons in 2009 would give you a 25% risk of exceeding FREF in 2009. Given the high current biomass, there's not a real concern about biomass fluctuations for this management unit. So in summary, we have low Fs on this management unit. We have improved recruitment, very high biomass. Fishing up to FREF would not pose a conservation concern for haddock. However, we do have the problem of the catch of cod needs to be considered, since cod and haddock are caught together. For Georges Bank Yellowtail, these two assessments, the track assessment, the garment assessment, it's just the same assessment. It's it's the four statistical areas plus 522 and 525. So landings from all the areas in green are used, landings and discard, to estimate to do the stock assessment. So looking at the catches for yellowtail were very high back in the mid to late 1980s, and then declined. The Canadian fishery started up, that's in red here, in like 1990, 3, I believe. But in recent years, they've not been able to catch yellowtail or find yellowtail, except for they do have discard yellowtail in their scallop fleet. So for the 2007 total U.S.-Canadian catch was 1,686 metric tons, and of that, 608 metric tons were discarded. The U.S. catch was 1,000 metric tons, and the discards were about half at 500 metric tons. Looking again now, looking at the fishing mortality, which is in the blue line here, prior to 1994, the F on this stock was well above, or near one, or well above one. But after management measures came into effect, the F dropped and was still high, but not as high as previously. And currently, F is close to FREF. In 2007, it's 0.29, and FREF is 0.25. If we look at the survey index trends, this is we have three surveys that are used in the assessment: the Center's Fall and Spring Survey and the DFO survey. We can see that biomass increased from the mid 90s and peaked around 2000, and then declined in the mid 2000s. And this increase we see in 2007 is due to that strong 2005 year class. The 2008 DFO survey is not presented here. It was not used in the assessment due to an extremely large tow that occurred in the survey. This was discussed at three different meetings: at the June cod and haddock track meeting, at the GARM meeting, and then at the yellowtail track meeting in August. And sensitivity runs were performed, and decision was made to proceed without using just the 2008 DFO survey. All the other surveys from DFO were used, you know, from 86 to 2007. Also, for this stock, at the benchmark for yellowtail, the major change model was chosen over the base case model. And then the major change model is the same model that Paul was talking about, the split survey model, where the survey's time series is split between 1994 and 95. And as Paul said in his presentation, this formulation shows very large changes in the survey catchability, and the mechanism for this, we don't know exactly why, so it adds uncertainty to the assessment. But because this model reflects the survey trends in abundance, whereas the base case model does not, the major change model was the recommended model to use for the assessment. If we look at the biomass indices from this, from the major change model, you can see that similar to the survey indices, the biomass increased from 1993 up to from 2,100 metric tons in 95 to 11,000 metric tons in 2003, declined about 4,000 metric tons in 2006, and then has increased to about 16,000 metric tons in 2008. And some of this is due to the 2005 year class. Looking at the SSB and recruitment, we see this increase in SSB from the mid-90s up to 2002 or so, and this decline and then a recent increase to 9,500 metric tons in 2007. If we look at recruitment, we see that the 2005 year class here is at 49.4 million. It's the strongest year class we've had since 1980 year class. The recruitment of the year classes around this were from 1998 to 2001, average about $22 million, and then between 2002 and 2006, excuse me, recruitment is averaging below $20 million. We look at the projection risk. If the quota in 2008 of 2,500 metric tons is taken, then a quota of 4,600 metric tons in 2009 would present or give a 50% neutral risk of F2009 exceeding FRUF. I think I need water. If we fish at FRF of 0.26 in 2009, there's projected to be a 9% increase in the median age 3-plus biomass from 21,000 metric tons in 2009 to 23,000 metric tons in 2010. So in summary, for yellowtail, the F was very high early in the time series, and only recently are we approaching FRF, and the biomass is increasing. Because the caveat is this improvement is heavily dependent on this one strong year class, so rebuilding is still required for the stock. And that would be it.
Thanks, Loretta. Any questions from the council concerning the status reports? Jim Odlin.
I noticed in the cod report that weighted age is still not what it used to be, and that in the last one I asked, you know, what could that be? Could it be the overpopulation or the high biomass of cod? And you told me that they don't eat the same thing. And I have to tell you that they do eat the same thing. I mean, we've had a phenomenon here the last year or so that the haddock we're catching is completely full of sand lance, which is the same exact thing that cod eat. And we're having extreme difficulties in marketing the haddock because they're so full of sand lance that it causes the flesh to be hot, and we're having trouble. So, I mean, these fish are eating the same thing. And you may not see it because the surveys happen when the sand lance aren't around, but they are full of sand lance. And I mean, when I say full, I mean they're just throwing this stuff out as we catch them. So there's something going on there that maybe the haddock are eating the preferred food of the cod now. So I just throwing that out there. That it is a fact, and they do eat the same thing.
Yeah, I believe at least for the whole 5Z cod assessment, the decline in mean length and mean weight started quite a bit before the haddock started to recover. I mean, and we look at it's been this long-term decline in the mean length and weight. So it's been going on for some time. I mean, I'm sure you're right that cod are opportunistic. They'll eat whatever's available. But and it could be that they're competing. But also, I do know that that it has been declining prior to the increase in haddock biomass. So we don't know what's causing it, but it definitely the trend is there.
Deacon?
Yeah, thank you, Loretta. With the Georges Bank yellowtail track assessment, I noticed that on page 3 of the document, it indicates that the TMGC has adopted a strategy to maintain a low to neutral risk of exceeding the fishing mortality limit reference of FREP 0.25. Then it says, when stock conditions are poor, fishing mortality rates should be further reduced to promote rebuilding. The assessment you just described, is it fair to say that assessment would lead the user of the assessment to conclude that stock conditions are poor? And would we say they're poor and the Canadians say they're not poor?
Let's see, let's go back to... So you're saying that, I don't think we're saying different things. I think the stock is still above, I mean, we're still not below FREF, and we're still not near our SSBMSY, so the stock needs to be rebuilt. And I'm not sure, could you clarify your question?
Right, well, the assessment advice developed with Canadian scientists indicates that when stock conditions are poor, then fishing mortality rates should be reduced further to promote rebuilding. So I wonder if the Canadian scientists and the U.S. scientists that developed this assessment, have you concluded that stock conditions are poor?
That I think it's just a generic statement.
I guess I'm not getting my point across.
No.
See, FREF is 0.25, and FRE bill for the U.S. potentially will be 0.107, 0.11. So obviously, the burden on the U.S. will be to rebuild and to use the 0.11. The Canadians, on the other hand, will likely say 0.25, so we have a big difference in what the F value will be for the upcoming year. Unless, of course, this stock assessment would make a compelling case to the U.S. and Canadian managers that, stock conditions are poor, so consistent with Canadian advice, Canadian scientific advice and U.S. scientific advice, we should reduce the fishing mortality rate in order to rebuild. I'm just trying to anticipate what the Canadian scientists will be advising their side using this particular assessment. Are they going to likely say, no, stock conditions are not poor?
I can't say what they're going to say. I have no idea. But unfortunately, we manage on the long term. You know, the rebuilding date for this stock is 2014, so whereas the Canadians manage, you know, 1 year in advance. So there's that discrepancy. But I don't believe, as I said, this stock is dependent at this point in time on this 1 year class, and that's going to be out of the fishery shortly. So I don't think, I wouldn't think that anybody would say this stock is doing that well.
Okay, I would agree with you except for the last sentence in that paragraph where it says, a review of production from this resource indicated that FREP 0.25 remains appropriate. So I think we're left with the conclusion that, again, the U.S. managers, the TMGC, is going to be looking at 0.107, something like that, versus the 0.25. Again, it gets to the issue of what kind of advice should this council give the TMGC when we talk about how to do our business in next week. Thank you, Loretta. I know that was...
They're just saying that FREF of 0.25 is appropriate. That's not FRE build. So there's a...
You know. Exactly. And I'm going to conclude from my look-see at this document that no one is going to conclude that stock conditions are poor. Therefore, there's no leverage to have the Canadians move it down from 0.25 to some lower F value. Anyways, another question. Okay, and again, this gets back to the point you made earlier about Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod, and that is the TRAC uses a benchmark assessment. There's been, I guess, some agreement that a new benchmark assessment is needed, and I suspect that's because of the good work of the U.S. scientists trying to push this forward. And you've indicated that a different formulation was used in this GARM, that it's scaled differently, hence it's a bit of a problem. Indeed it is. I'm still trying to wrestle, and I think the council has to wrestle with what advice should we use relative to the status of this stock in terms of how much biomass is on Georgia, cod biomass is on Georgia's Bank. I assume that how did we get to this particular point in time where we have dueling assessments? And how do we deal? How do we resolve this? Is there any scientific approach for resolving this, or are we just left with dueling assessments?
Well, it's just unfortunate the way it all unfolded. We had the benchmark. I mean, the best of what would have been to have both assessments done together and a benchmark, but that isn't what happened. So in the short term, we're going to have to deal with this. We're requesting a benchmark to be for the Eastern Georgia's Bank in conjunction with 5Z so that we go in with the two assessments and we come back out using the same model so we don't get into this position again. You brought this up earlier. The track assessment scales the population slightly higher. The split survey in the GARM scales it slightly lower, so you really cannot compare the two at face value like we used to. And looking at the GARM assessment implies that like 70% of the stock is on the Eastern Georgias, which we don't believe to be true based on survey biomass. It should be more like 50-50. So in the short term, I'm not a negotiator, and I don't envy the person who has to negotiate, but the best we could do is if the Eastern Georgia's Bank is quota set lower, then we'll have less to make up on the Western side. But I have no idea how that will play out in the TMGC. But the stock, I don't, regardless of the assessments, I mean, both assessments, we have not had good recruitment in this stock for, almost two decades. So I don't care which assessment you use, COD is not in good shape.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, one other point. Was there any discussion at the track, or at the GARM for that matter, but you're focusing on the track, so let's stay with that. Was there any discussion of what actually is affecting resource productivity, the continuous poor recruitment of Georgia's Bank COD, any discussion of the impact of the North Atlantic Oscillation, some other environmental factor? Are we going to be able to rebuild this this resource with, if indeed those environmental factors are having an effect? So what was discussed at the track? Anything?
We didn't discuss what might be causing it, but I mean, if you just look at this figure here, you see that the biomass of the stock, well, this is not a stock, it's a subset of the entire stock. It's down at 19,000 metric tons. It's this stock has a capacity to be at least double that. So I think the answer might be here that the biomass is too low. The age structure is truncated, and the stock needs to be rebuilt. I'm sure there's environmental factors, but they're not included in the assessment.
Nancy.
Yeah, I mean, the question about process directed at us is something that we can't really answer because, I mean, obviously as scientists, we've made agreements that we're going to do a joint stock assessment under the track or whatever this is called. I guess it's the track, yeah. At some point, but it hasn't been scheduled. So as far as doing a joint assessment is concerned, I mean, that's something that I don't certainly control and certainly is going to be bumping up, obviously, to the discussions at the steering committee level. So, I mean, asking, Loretta that question, obviously there's no answer because it's something that we don't control.
Pat and then Dr. Pierce.
Thank you. I want to go back to the earlier point about the whether or not this stock could be that we could reasonably argue that this stock is in poor condition. First, I think there's a misunderstanding about the sentence that Dr. Pierce was looking at. A review of production from this resource indicates that FRF equal 0.25 remains appropriate. That's not a statement about the appropriate level of fishing. That's just a statement that has to do with whether or not FREF was set appropriately at 0.25. So So I think it's a separate from the question of whether or not the condition of the stock is poor. And I think the information here is compelling, that we've got overfishing occurring. We're primarily relying on the one-year class. And although the Canadians don't recognize overfished in the same way we do, it's still not a healthier or rebuilt stock. It'd be more akin to something that they might call a depleted stock. So I think that we very much can make the argument that this is a stock in poor condition, and that therefore the fishing mortality rates should be reduced below the FREF level.
Dr. Pierce, did you want to follow up? Jim Alden.
Yeah, I don't think the Canadians are going to have much trouble if we, a big problem if we go in and recommend a lower level of catch than 4,600 tons on the yellowtail. But I think where we're going to have our problem is going to be in the cod. You know, they are not going to come off 2,100 tons. And so that's the one we really need to key in on and figure out what we can do about it.
Anyone else on the council? Jim?
Well, on the last TMGC conference, are we going to move right from the track into TMGC? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. On the last TMGC conference call, we came up with a couple of ideas, and I was wondering if maybe Tom Warren or somebody could put the discussion that we had and how we can get out of the box of between 2,100 and, I don't know, what's going to be, 1,100 or...
I guess potentially they could put, if they wanted to approach it from the biomass perspective, then 1,300 metric tons would give you a neutral risk. That 2010 wouldn't be lower than 2009 biomass. I mean, you could, if you wanted to approach it that way,
okay.
That would be probably the lowest.
Somewhere between, the track is going to give us something between 1,300 and 2,100. Where does the GARM put us? On the Eastern Georges Bank stock.
Well, those projections that they haven't been finalized, but tentatively the F rebuild catch would be around 3,700 metric tons. So the typical way we do this, or we, the PDT, they would take whatever quota is set in the track, subtract it from the GARM quota, and that would be what's available for Western. So that would leave about 2,200 metric tons for Western, or total, including the Eastern. But again, because of the scaling issue, I don't know. I don't know how the PDT is going to handle that. I mean, we're required by law to not go above, you know, F rebuild catch. So you're right. You would need to get the quota down as much as possible on Eastern.
Yeah, we did have a TMGC conference call last week, Tuesday, and I can't remember who all was on it. Myself, like Jim Maudlin, Terry, George LaPointe. George, if you want to come up to the table. Dr. Pierce, you were on the call as well. Pat Kirkle, Tom Warren, Tom Neese was on for a little while. If you recall in the past, we've gone up, had our negotiations, come back, and been told that we couldn't agree, legally we couldn't agree to the agreement we made in the understanding. So we had to go and have another conference call and make some modifications to the tax. So it's pretty obvious, as Jim just brought up, we have an issue with codfish and the difference between the GARM and the track assessment. And so rather than go up there blind, so to speak, without the council's being made aware of this and having the opportunity to give the TMGC direction in negotiation, we thought it was wise to bring that issue here today and get some input from the council, or at the very least make the council aware of the tight spot we find ourselves in. So if George or Tom Neese wants to add to that.
No, that's the dilemma, Mr. Chairman. Thanks very much. And for council members who weren't here a couple years ago, the issue was George's Bank, Yellowtail Flounder then. And we, when we go to the TMGC, we have the track numbers and we negotiate a number based on the risk of exceeding F and the risk of exceeding biomass. And a couple years ago, we made a preliminary agreement. I think it was for 1,500 metric tons. And we came back to the council and we were told that we couldn't go above 1,250 metric tons because of U.S. federal law. And we had to go back then and renegotiate with the Canadians, who were not at all pleased, went along with it, and they said they don't want to do that again. And so we're kind of in the same dilemma. I was telling Mary Peters, I feel like we're going to have our underwear on top of our head. We'll look the fools as we go into the meeting, because the numbers that come out of the track will be higher than the numbers that come out of the GARM, and because the percentage is split by the agreement, the understanding, excuse me, the percentage is going to the U.S. and Canada. If we negotiate a lower number, the Canadians could make an argument that they should get the number they got, would get under track, and we would even get a lower number. And so that's the dilemma we're going to be in, without, you know, going into individual numbers and spilling the beans too much. But it is a big dilemma for the TMGC members and ultimately the council and the people who rely on that TAC.
Pat Kirkle, and then I have a question.
I think we're getting confused between yellowtail and cod a little bit. So I wanted to make sure we were all talking the same language. I don't think we have the problem in cod where we need to set a lower tack because of the mortality rate than the Canadians do. Because, in fact, F rebuild is pretty much the same thing as F ref for cod. So the issue for cod is just the two models and the somewhat inconsistent results that you get from the two models. So making sure that we set the cod, that we agree a cod tack with the Canadians that's low enough to still allow us to have a fishery in the western portion of Eastern Georges Bank. So I don't think we have the sort of statutory problem with cod that we have with yellowtail. Yellowtail, on the other hand, we do still have that problem, but if, as most people, I think that the Canadians are willing to go to a much lower number on yellowtail, then we shouldn't have a problem being consistent with our effort to build there either. So I think we might be talking about the two things at the same time, and I just want to clarify.
I'm looking at the status report document, Eastern Georges Cod, and the bullet that says assuming a 2008 catch equal to 2,300 metric ton total quota, blah, 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 2,100 metric tons in 09 for a neutral risk, somewhere between 2,100 and 1,300 metric tons is referenced in the status report. And then I look at Table 3 in the GARM. Georges Bank cod, F rebuild, catch 2009-37-22. So walk the council through, maybe Tom Neese is the most appropriate person to do it. If you can walk the council through how we could have a GARM, I know it's preliminary, but a GARM projected catch of 37-22, which is higher than the status report suggestion, and how that sets us up for an issue in Western Georges.
Maybe that
This is on codfish.
I don't understand.
Maybe I won't show this slide after all, but give me a second here. This works on my computer lock.
I have these numbers worked out. 37 minus the 21.
Can I begin it now?
Well, trying to show a slide here that doesn't look like it wants to work, and my computer just locked up, so I don't know if I'm going to get it. Ooh!
Paul, can we get Tom Neese a new computer?
Anyway. Trying to do this off the top of my head, and Loretta luckily has some numbers here. But if you think, it used to be that this was a very simple thing to do. We would take the U.S.-Canada TAC for Canada, and we could subtract it from the TAC we got for the whole stock, and that would tell us what the TAC was for the U.S. portion, including eastern U.S.-Canada area. You know, we could subtract one from the other. The two assessments are not really compatible, so I'm not sure that that's the appropriate calculation to do anymore. But if you do the calculation that way, and you start out with 3,722 tons, and then you subtract 2,100 for U.S.-Canada, that leaves 1,522 for Western Georgia's outside of the U.S.-Canada area. Now, the U.S. gets, did I do that right? Yeah. Now, the U.S. gets some of that U.S.-Canada catch as well, and it's 21%, whether that works out to around 600 metric tons, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, your total U.S. catch is on the order of 2,273. And we get 651 in the U.S.-Canada area, I guess, something like that. So, you know, this creates something of a management problem for us in that you wind up with a higher proportion of the U.S. cod catch in the eastern U.S.-Canada area than the western area than that ratio has been in recent years because of this. You know, if you take the stance that the U.S., the total catch on Georgia's because of the GARM assessment has to be 3,722 metric tons, if you give 2,100 for the U.S.-Canada area, the math is easy. That only leaves 1,500. Now, in my mind, if you read the Georges Bank Cod assessment, I'm not convinced how you can argue the Georges Bank Cod track assessment. Much like David asked the question on George's yellowtail, I don't see that assessment as saying the stock is in great condition either. I mean, it's basically got one year class with no year classes around it. It's at a low stock size. Fishing mortality has been close to FREF, maybe below it for a couple of years, but I mean, it's still not in good shape.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. So we wanted to come to the council and I guess, number one, identify that issue, and I don't know if put on notice is the right term, but let the council know and the public know that there's a possibility that the interplay between U.S.-Canada understanding and our responsibilities under Magnuson and the new GARM could set us up for some serious heartburn on not only the codfish but on the yellowtail. I think we need to make sure that we're clear on that as well. Maybe not necessarily in 2009, but as we move into and we'll talk about the timeline for groundfish management and the spec process and ACLs coming online in 2010, but quantifying or capturing sources of mortality that include non-directed fisheries is going to come into play on Georgia's Bank with yellowtail flounder. So we need to be aware of that as well. George, do you feel like there's something we missed here?
Or no, Jim? No, Mr. Chairman, that is the dilemma we face, and we wanted, as you said, we wanted to make council members aware of it. It's another awkward spot that we're going into, and we didn't want. It's important that people know that the Canadians have contacted us about this issue, and so we will do our very best at the TMGC and report back to the council. And so we didn't want that October surprise like we had last time, where our actions took a lot of council time, and then again that subsequent meeting with the Canadians.
Jim.
Well, I think we're missing something, and I can't get my arms around it, because we had quite a discussion that, okay, what if the Canadians say we don't want to accept 1,300 tons, we want the full 2,100. Then their share of the Eastern Georges Bank cod is going to be higher than is in the agreement. And where does that leave us? So am I missing something? Because that's the discussion we had on the TMGC, we either have to give them a higher share, that's one option, or we deduct the difference, which by the U.S. law, we have to deduct it from our share on our side of the line. So if they take another extra 700 tons and then they're 70% of that, that's coming out of the U.S. side. And I don't think we're presenting that.
Tom.
Yeah, I think to clarify what Jim's saying here, if the TAC is set at 2,100 metric tons, the Canadians' share of that doesn't change. That's set by the agreement. They get, I think this year it's 71% of it?
1,499.
Okay. But what that means is their share of the total Georges Bank cod TAC, which under our GARM is 3,722 tons, is bigger than what it's been under the agreement in the past when the assessments matched up. You know, so their share in the U.S.-Canada area doesn't change, but their share of what's the total removals on Georges changes. Now, the Canadians probably don't see that as a problem because they view it as distinct management units. We, on the other hand, might see that as a problem.
Pat.
But that's not inconsistent with the agreement. I mean, the agreement is only on the eastern portion of the U.S.-Canada area, and the agreement is FREF unless the stock is found to be in poor condition and then something lower. So, unfortunately, even if it was set at 2,100 metric tons, the Canadians have done everything they've agreed to under our understanding. But it does clearly create a problem for us here in the U.S.
Anything further from the council members? Tom Neese.
Assuming when I try and toggle this that I get back, which I may not, I mean, I might be able to show these things if anybody's interested.
Okay, it's not working. Okay. There was one motion that came out of the committee that's losing my ability to search for words, that's relevant to this discussion, so I'm going to ask Rip to bring it forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we did have one motion came out of the committee. This is from the August 26th meeting. It's for council members, it's under tab number 3, document number 12. It is item 1. From the discussion this afternoon, this may be slightly redundant, but seeing as how it's a committee motion, I'm required to make it anyway. And I don't know if it's going to be a problem to get it up on the screen or okay. Karen's getting. I will read it while Karen is working on getting it up. The motion is that the council requests a new benchmark assessment for all of Georges Bank COD to be conducted with the Canadians as soon as possible and to be completed in time for next year's track.
Okay, the motion's on the board. It was a committee motion, no second required. Discussion from the council. Dave Gaethel.
Is it doable in that time period? I mean, that'd be a question for the Science Center.
I think the process is, as Nancy said, it gets elevated up to the U.S.-Canada Steering Committee for discussion, and then from there it's a matter of resources. So it has to sort of jump the hurdle at the steering committee, if I have my protocol right, and then from there. I see a hand. It looks like it's Fred's hand. Fred? There was discussion at the track meeting and at the GARM that this would be a beneficial thing to occur.
Thank you, Chairman. Fred Sirchuk, Northeast Fisheries Science Center. I'm speaking now to this motion and also in relationship to my experience with the track process. First and foremost, I think it would be I don't know whether it's within the remit of the track to do a new benchmark for all of Georges Bank COD, because the management unit for the track is just the Eastern Georges Bank component. So I don't know whether it's possible, but I suggest that perhaps a more appropriate motion, if it's possible, would be to recommend that a new benchmark be done for the Eastern Georges Bank component and to evaluate that benchmark assessment with respect to the benchmark assessment that's recently been completed for the GARM with respect to consistency. In essence, I think that, as I understand it, the track members themselves have agreed to a benchmark assessment for the Eastern Georges Bank COD component. As I also understand it, that benchmark assessment is expected, although it hasn't been finalized as far as the schedule, but expected to be done sometime during this coming winter. That is in advance of the next COD track COD assessment, and so that it will not be data dependent. That is, it will not affect the outcome of the assessment. It will be just done on the available data and looking at the formulations. I suggest perhaps you may want to reconsider the wording of this motion, Chairman. Thank you.
So your suggestion, Fred, is to not assess all of Georges, but to have a new benchmark on the Eastern component.
Yes, and then to evaluate whether that assessment, that new benchmark assessment, is consistent, okay, with the benchmark assessment for the entire stock that's been done under the GARM. This is the problem right now. There are slightly different formulations, so you get into a situation where that we just discussed in terms of apples and oranges. And I think Loretta explained that it's very difficult to compare the assessments now because there are different formulations, and it gives results that, when looked in isolation, are not parsimonious. They're not in harmony with one another.
Play the what-if game, Fred. We go through, we make your suggested change, and we end up with another apple and orange. Is that, that's possible, right?
Well, anything is possible, Chairman.
Thank God it is.
You know, I just the remit of the track is the Eastern Georges Bank management areas. okay, except for Yellowtail, which is a common stock. So I think we just gone through a GARM assessment in trying to get the best benchmark assessment for the Georges Bank cod resource in its entirety. That seems to be a little bit inconsistent in terms of its results with the TRAC assessment. And I think there's a feeling by the TRAC members that the TRAC assessment does need to have a benchmark. They've recommended it. I suggest that the council could support that effort and go the further step in trying to evaluate that new benchmark against the GARM benchmark. I wouldn't be comfortable with giving, having just completed through a GARM benchmark, I don't know why another benchmark needs to be done on the entire stock again, quite frankly.
Okay. Thanks, Fred. Anyone else in the audience to the motion on the board? Back to the council. Oh, I see a hand up. Chris.
Chris Brown, Commercial Fishermen Association, Rhode Island. How is it we get dragged into co-managing with another country when we don't have similar goals at the end of it? Why would we play that game? It blows my mind. I can't believe we're going to have to mop up after them and make whole the resource on our fishermen, and that they will get away with this. This is terrible. Co-management means that you should have identical goals, mortality rates for the end product. This needs to be renegotiated. This isn't a council problem. This is one of our, you know, many political problems. This can be fixed by the politicians. The council can't fix this. And the fishermen shouldn't have to mop up after a terrible job done by a politician.
Back to the council, Jim Otham.
Yeah, I agree with your comment, what if. I mean, I don't think we're going to fix anything if we just do a benchmark on the track side, on the eastern side. We still could have the potential that we're back in the same dilemma next year, U.S. fishermen taking less. I mean, it's bad enough to do it for 1 year. I think we need to come to some conclusion on the overall stock, and it's going to take a benchmark with the Canadians to do that. So that's I support the motion as it's written. Thank you.
Pat Kirk.
But I think Fred's point, and I agree with him, is that the track process. We're not going to get that kind of agreement from the Canadians out of the track process. The track process is to assess the eastern portion of the resource because that's the portion of the resource that we have the understanding on. So I don't think that we're going to get agreement from the Canadians to do the entire portion of the bank. And Fred's suggestion for a compromise, I think, is a good one, that we're going to look at, we're going to continue to do a joint assessment for that portion of the resource that we've mutually agreed to manage, and then reconcile the two, so that presumably the advice we get next year will include that reconciliation, will include some advice that deals with the disparity between the two models. So I think that's the best way forward. Just one comment on the agreement in general. I want to remind folks that before we had this agreement, when we'd do separate assessments, we'd come up with different numbers, and then each of us would set the number at the highest level. So in other words, if we came up with 2,100 metric tons and they came up with 2,300 metric tons, then in combination we'd be fishing at over 4,000 metric tons, which obviously the resource was not going to sustain for any length of time. So I think the agreement has worked for the last several years in terms of making sure that we're both within some acceptable biological level, and I don't see that the U.S. industry has actually suffered from that in any way.
Dr. Dogg.
Yeah, I agree with Pat's suggestion. I think Fred is correct. And frankly, my principal concern about Georgia's Bank cod has been focused on Eastern Georgia's Bank and the numbers that have been in front of me for a while now. And that is, and this is preliminary GOM information, where we were told Eastern Georgia's Bank, 19,000 metric tons spawning stock biomass. And then if it's split, if the surveys are split, which would happen at the GARM, then the Eastern Georgia's Bank drops to 9,000. So there's a difference of 10,000 metric tons. Consequently, why not just work on the Eastern? If we can resolve the Eastern, I think the problem will work itself out. So I would move to amend that the council requests a benchmark assessment for Eastern Georgia's Eastern Georgia's Bank cod to be conducted with the Canadians as soon as possible and to be completed in time for next year's track.
Is there a second on the motion to amend? Mark Gibson. Discussion on the motion to amend? Paul Howard.
You also had that other part that Fred talked about, and that be reconciled with the GARM 3 results, and that we get one form of advice for next year that reconciles the GARM 3 advice as well.
I don't recall the exact words that Fred provided, but they were good ones. All right, I can't read them. Where is it?
At the bottom.
Oh, bear with me. All right, to be conducted with the Canadians as soon as possible and to be completed in time for next year's track. I can't read the bottom type.
Evaluate whether the new benchmark assessment is consistent with the assessment done by the GARM.
Okay, so also evaluate whether the new benchmark assessment, and if you scroll down a bit, is consistent with the Georgia's Bank assessment done by the GARM.
The seconder agree? Is that a thumbs up? Okay, the seconder agrees. Tom Neese.
It's a good thing it's not tomorrow. I hope I do better tomorrow. I guess there's a couple points that may be relevant to this motion. The first is that my recollection is this is the sort of discussion we had in reverse about a year and a half ago when we were planning the GARM, where we said the GARM only deals with a whole stock, we won't worry about the Eastern Georgia's stock. The second is that at the track meeting, which I participated in this past spring, one of the things we did is we worked on some draft terms of reference that we're going to go forward with a recommendation to the TMGC and to the steering committee for an assessment. And I'm not quite sure those are just draft terms of reference. They haven't been approved by anybody yet, but I think it's somewhat relevant that the objective that was proposed by the TRAC was to review the assessment frameworks for the two Georgia's Bank cod management units, and then the agreed benchmark would be used in the June-July TRAC for 5ZJM cod, which is the Eastern Georgia's Bank stock. So, you know, it seems to me that the assessment scientists themselves were talking about trying to reconcile the two assessments and come up with one that would be used. Now, that's not perhaps exactly the same as doing another assessment for Georgia's Bank cod, but it's, you know, not too fine a difference there.
Council members, the motion to amend on the board? Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion to amend, please raise your hand. Opposed. Opposed. Two. Abstentions. No, motion to amend carries 14-2. It's now the main motion as amended. Anything further on the main motion as amended? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? One. Abstentions? One. Motion carries 14-1-1. Rip, anything further for today on the groundfish?
No.
Okay. Apparently there is. I got Dr. Dog and Dave Gaethel.
Well, I look to you for some guidance, Mr. Chairman. I just did discuss with you earlier this morning my concern about some incomplete, unfinished business that was partially due to my own fault, and this relates to the motion that I made earlier this morning on the National Standard Number 1 guidelines, and it was brought to my attention that I didn't and the council didn't satisfactorily address the letter and the request that went forward from Paul Howard to Pat about the rebuilding overfished fisheries relative to the U.S.-Canadian Transboundary Management Agreement. So I have a motion to make, but I don't know when it's appropriate to make it. It seems to flow from this discussion we just had, but I realize it is late in the day. So whatever you would like me to do, Mr. Chairman.
Let's throw it up there, and if we all get googly-eyed, we'll table it till tomorrow.
Okay. This is in reference to 10G. The page labeled 10G, I guess this was underground fish, and the August 22nd letter from Paul to Pat. There's two specific references to the MSA, to the Magnuson-Stevens Act, two sections, 104.297, rebuilding overfished fisheries, and 109.479, that relates to timelines. And as you indicated this morning, Mr. Chairman, I think it was you, there was some bold-faced text in those sections that you wanted to call to the attention of Pat, of course, and then to the full council. So I've given this some further thought. Let me offer up this motion, see if it deals with your specific concerns as relayed by Paul Howard. At least I assume that's how it was transmitted. It's relatively brief. Move the council request the National Marine Fisheries Service allow, through proposed National Standard Number 1 guidelines, (Number 1), a stock status determination using criteria for overfishing specified in the U.S.-Canada Transboundary Sharing Agreement and 2, a timeline for rebuilding the fishery consistent with the understanding. So I've taken the language that's been bold-faced and I believe I've transformed it into a motion that would specifically deal with your request and that would make this motion consistent with the earlier motion that this council adopted regarding having the understanding regarding the National Standard Number 1 guidelines dealing with this particular issue.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mary Beth. Dave, I have a question. Which timeline are you referencing in the second part of your motion?
Well, if there is a timeline, then indeed we would live with that timeline. I suspect there is no timeline yet, but I use those words because, once again, they're consistent with the bold-faced text that you have in your letter. So the gist of it would be that potentially the service would consider our not having to live with that 10-year timetable because the 10-year timetable would not be consistent with the U.S.-Canadian understanding.
Okay, I understand your intent now. Council members? Mary Beth?
Thank you. I'll have to move. Thank you. I just one quick question. Is there currently any criteria for overfishing specified in the agreement? So if it's not currently specified, it's in anticipation of the possibility of that happening?
Well, I guess my intent is to deal with the FREP and the FRE build and to, you know, be on the same page. In other words, if it's FREP, then we would be potentially through the National Standard Number 1 guidelines on the same page with the Canadians, assuming they wouldn't go to FRE build. And why would they? Because they're not required. So once again, consistent with the sense of the proposed National Standard Number 1 guidelines.
Anyone else on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Eleven. Opposed? Abstentions? Four abstentions. The motion carries 11-04. Dave, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared to make a motion, but I wanted to have a little bit of discussion about Chris Brown's point because I think it's a good one. I actually did make a motion 3 years ago, and I think I got my head handed to me on a plate, you know, about you can't talk to the Canadians about mesh size or anything else, but I think he put it very well. We need to have a discussion, at least, or initiate a discussion of a common set of goals and objectives for the management of Eastern Georges Bank. We have two fundamentally different management systems that are very much at cross purposes with each other, and I don't believe that, quite frankly, the U.S. is getting the better end of this deal on a consistent basis. You know, as George said, we're going to be wearing our underwear, and I had my question to him would be boxes or briefs, because that's exactly what's going to happen yet again. And until we have a common set of goals and objectives for the management of this area, this is going to keep happening because people on the in Western Georges Bank who may never fish in the eastern area at all are going to have to continue to pay for any overages that are in the eastern area. And it simply isn't fair and equitable to them. I mean, we can't sit here with a straight face and say to a guy who never goes to Eastern Georges Bank, sorry, because of a difference in how we assess cod, you don't get to go fishing. But that's exactly what we're about to say here, because I could see exactly what's coming here. We're going to go in there not with one hand tied behind our back this time. We're going to tie them both behind our backs. And the Canadians are going to say, we're going to take our full share of our stock assessment. And we're going to say, okay, fine, we're going to have the people in Western Georges Bank pay it back. And that's just plain wrong. I mean, I don't see how we can sit here and even say it with a straight face. So I think we ought to at least instruct the committee to explore negotiating a common set of goals and objectives, and maybe that would get us off the dime on managing this in a consistent and coherent manner.
Rodney.
I just have a question. Did David make that as a motion? Did David just make that as a motion? No, or just
he was asking for discussion on
that. Was a con.
Yeah. Pat Kirkle.
I'm not sure what committee Dave's referring to when he says they should negotiate. It's an international negotiation is very different than a negotiation we would have amongst ourselves or with another council, for example, or domestic negotiation, any kind of domestic negotiation. I would argue that we do have common goals and objectives. We went through the process of agreeing to use the same information, a joint assessment, and then trying to achieve the FREF level, and with the understanding that we have a provision in our law that Canadians don't have in their law. And what we got in exchange for that was the wording in the documents, which says that if it's in poor condition, then we'll set the fishing mortality rates further, we'll reduce them further to promote rebuilding. So that was a very big concession, I think, on the Canadians' part. So far, I think what we need to do is look back at the last several years and look at what did happen as a result of the agreement and talk about what might have happened if we didn't have the agreement, because I think we would have been in a lot of trouble. The Canadians would have been harvesting at much higher levels, and we would have been deducting that from the U.S. portion of the resource. Last year, it was a difficult negotiation. We didn't get the agreement we needed based on U.S. law the first go-around, but when we went back the second time, we did. So the Canadians ultimately agreed to harvest at the level that would be consistent with the U.S. rebuilding requirements. So far, I think they have conceded every time we've needed them to based on our statutory requirements. That doesn't mean they're going to this year, but I still think that ultimately we're getting a heck of a lot more than we would be if we had no agreement with the Canadians. I can guarantee you on COD, they'd be saying, okay, we're going to take 2,300 metric tons. Good luck to you. So I just think we have to be realistic here.
Anything further from the council? We've got a full day of this tomorrow. All ground fish all the time. Rodney.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment. You know, I've been around a few years, and I keep seeing us giving our fisheries away to the foreigners. We gave our sword fishery away. We're giving our tuna fishery away. We're going to give our haddock and our cod and our yellowtails away. And then we don't have to worry about coming out here and managing any of our stocks because we won't have any more. That seems to be the trend that this country takes.
Dana.
Quickly, Mr. Chairman, to David's point and to Rodney's point, I agree with what David's saying, and I also agree with what Rodney's saying, and my fear is if we go down and negotiate, we wind up with less than we had in the beginning, knowing my Canadian friends like I do. So I agree with the concept, but I'm a little bit nervous to go down that road. Thank you.
Okay, anything further today? Tomorrow the meeting starts at 8:30, open period for public comment, then back to ground fish. Thank you.